Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. There's a line that I couldn't remember exactly how it went. It's in the Lord of the Rings books where Bilbo says to Frodo, it's a dangerous thing to get out on the road because you never really quite know where it will lead you. I've just about decided the same thing is true when you begin a sermon. You're not ever quite sure where it's going to take you. You have a little bit of an idea, but you're not quite sure where it's going to take you sometimes. The lesson this evening has two parts, two main thrusts. But each of these parts has its own introduction. That's not something I typically do, but this seems to be an appropriate thing this evening. To introduce the first part of the lesson, I want to share something that I read this past week about a guy named Matt Malone. He is a security consultant in Austin, Texas. So he probably has a pretty good job, probably makes a fair amount of money. But he estimates that he could clear about $250,000 a year if he just gave up his day job completely and pursued his weekend hobby full time. You see, every weekend, Malone climbs into his Chevy Avalanche and he goes dumpster diving. Let me tell you, we just finished a Falcon Days at Florida College this past weekend. 151 young people came to campus to check out FC. Quite a few of them had at least one parent with them. And I'll tell you, parents are serious about the future of their children. I think probably everybody in this room feels the same way. They have dreams for them, just as the young men and the young women have dreams for themselves. They imagine what their future might be. I'm going to suggest that it's a pretty fair bet that none of those parents who came to Falcon Days this past weekend, and none of you, ever dreamed that their kids might become dumpster divers for a living. Just guessing, but I think that's probably so. That's what Matt Malone does on weekends, really, dumpster diving. But not just any dumpsters. He's learned to be discriminating. For example, he targets dumpsters behind retail chain stores. Much of what he finds there are store returns, items that customers took home, but they did not like them, they brought them back. And most of these items that he reclaims from these dumpsters are in perfect condition, still in their original packaging. I mean, we're talking things like vacuum cleaners, power tools, furniture, carpeting, industrial machines, consumer electronics, all kinds of stuff. Even the scratch and dent stuff can be restored to near pristine condition with just a little love, as Malone puts it. He targets dormitory dumpsters behind the University of Texas, especially at the end of the semester. Moving out is the best time, of course. All year round, he makes for the dumpsters outside storage unit facilities. He makes sure he goes to places where there's going to be some pretty good stuff. Some of the stuff people throw away whenever they check out of a storage unit is still pretty good. So a small-time entrepreneur, I know it's a little funny to use the word entrepreneur to describe a dumpster diver, but this small-time entrepreneur really, who's creative about refurbishing and reselling things at his weekly garage sales, can make a great deal of money. And he makes that money by redeeming things that other people have cast aside as being worthless. Well, the word redeeming kind of gives the lesson away. God, of course, is the redeemer. The Bible speaks of God as Redeemer. Please, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 107. And you might want to put a marker in Psalm 107. We're going to read several verses from that psalm. First, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. God is a redeemer, but it is people whom God redeems, not vacuum cleaners and not computer printers. It is people who become God's own treasure when He redeems them. In Exodus chapter 19 and in verse 5, in Exodus 19 and verse 5, the scripture says, this is the Lord speaking to His people, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. If you're open to Exodus 19 and verse 5, and if you're using a Bible that has footnotes, then you might see in the margin there that that word possession can also be rendered special treasure. And that's exactly the idea. Those that God redeems become his special treasure. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 26, verse 18. The Lord has declared today to you to be his people, a treasured possession, as he promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments. The same thoughts found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. A familiar passage, I suspect, to many of us. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, where Peter writes, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." All whom God has redeemed are his special treasure. And in Psalm 107, we find, after those first three verses, we find four different accounts where we hear the anguished cry of God's people who are in distress, and we're told of their redemption by God. How God rescues them from their affliction. There is some debate about these accounts, about whether these are actual accounts that are being presented by the psalmist, or whether this is four figurative accounts to describe some of the various ways in which God's people were afflicted before God had restored them. I don't think either way makes a whole lot of difference to us. It does talk to us about God as Redeemer, and that's what I want us to think about this evening. So starting in verse 4 of Psalm 107, Psalm 107, verse 4. The first account reads this way. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. The second account begins in verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. The third account begins in verse 17. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. And the fourth account begins in the next verse, in verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens and went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, and so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. Now, probably you noticed that in each of these four redemption accounts or stories, Each one of them has the same fourfold structure. In each one of these, what we find is first a description of the nature of some kind of distress. Then we find those who are in distress crying out to the Lord for deliverance. Then there is a statement of God's delivering them from their distress. And then there is an expression of thanksgiving. Well, isn't that the way it is with us sometimes? Haven't there been times in our lives when we've been distressed or lost or sick or felt abandoned? Haven't there been times when we ourselves have done this? We've made a mess of things in our life and we didn't know what we were going to do. And when we don't know what to do, when we get this kind of distress, don't we do the same thing these people did? Don't we cry out to the Lord? In each of these accounts, we find two identical statements. The first, again, I'm sure that we noticed this. The first is, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. Well, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cry out to God. He wants us to do that. That's what we're told in James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. The Lord is our help, and he wants us to turn to him in times of trouble and distress. The second statement that is identical in each of the four accounts shows what is the proper response when God's people are given relief from their distresses. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Well, that's the second thing that we should also do. No, the Lord does not answer every prayer in the way that we would like for him to answer it. Sometimes all that we receive is the strength to endure whatever it is that we have to endure. Nevertheless, our response should still be the same, to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Even to be able to endure is a tremendous blessing sometimes. And being children of God, knowing that the Lord has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, this is a blessing that we should never, ever take for granted. And it's also a blessing that we should try to share with others. And that's the second part of this. In order to introduce the second part of this, I want to mention what used to be, maybe it still is, but it used to be for sure, a popular reality TV show on the A&E network called Storage Wars. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that or if you still watch it or not. I suspect some of us might have seen an episode or two. The motto of Storage Wars was this: how much would you pay for what's behind this door? In certain states, when rent on a storage locker is not paid for 3 months, the owner of the storage facility can sell the contents off in a single lot cash-only auction. On auction day, the door of the foreclosed unit is opened briefly for potential buyers to look inside. They can't go inside the unit. All they can do is look inside. They can't touch anything that's in the unit. They can't reach inside and lift anything up. They just have to guess, based on what they can see from the opening, from this brief glimpse, what those contents might be worth. The drama comes when the buyers then bid against each other in an auction. The question is, of course, always, will the winning bid be higher than the resale value of the things that are inside? Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. Well, with regard to this notion of redemption, we should think about this too. How much are we willing to give to redeem someone else, to help lead them to the Lord so that they can be redeemed? Maybe we should start by asking how much we value our own redemption. Just how valuable is that to us? If we were an item in a storage shed and God looked in the shed and saw us, how much do you think he would offer for us? Well, we don't have to think about that, do we? We know what he offered for us. He offered his son for us. That's how we're redeemed, because God offered Jesus. It's very clear that when God redeems sinners through Jesus Christ, the redeemed items, that would be you and me, they have some value to him. That's a little bit beyond our comprehension, I think, but they clearly have value to God. But compared to the price that was paid to redeem us, that's paid to redeem anybody, it is like we have no value at all. We're not worthy of what's been given to us. But we're the true winners of this process. It's the ones who've been redeemed who are the true winners here. And the Lord asks us to be involved in the process of redemption of others. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Matthew 28, verse 19, we know these verses. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. When the church suffered persecution in Jerusalem, they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But we're told in Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered, and we're not talking about the apostles here, they were not scattered. They stayed in Jerusalem. It's everybody else who was scattered. Those who had been scattered went about preaching, bringing the good news to the world. And in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob went into the city after she'd had a conversation with Jesus. And she told lots and lots of people about that conversation she had with Jesus. And there were some who believed because of her testimony. But then they really believed because they investigated the one she told them about. And they believed because of his word. Each one of us who is a Christian should be involved in this kind of work. Every single one of us should be involved in this kind of trying to spread the word about Jesus and how God has offered him to redeem each and every one of us, not because we are worth it, because we're not. Not because we've lived wonderful, great lives, because we haven't. The song that we sang right before the Lord's Supper, that first verse always gets me. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. That's what he did. He came to reclaim us, to redeem us, to recover us. And we need to try to help other people so that they can have that same blessing that we have received. Who needs to be redeemed? Everybody. Every one of us makes a mess of our own life and we try to do it the things the way we think we ought to do them. It's the Lord who helps us to understand how we ought to live our life, the things we should be about in our life. We all do things that are wrong. We all leave out things that we ought to do. We don't do them. We need to be redeemed. So does everybody else. And it would be a mistake for us to think, well, we've been redeemed because we're better. No. Everyone falls short. Everyone needs the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Our famous presidents are often involved in stories, apocryphal stories. We don't know if they're true or not, but they're famous, and so all of these stories get passed down through the years. You know the one about George Washington and the cherry tree, you know, cannot tell a lie, you know, all that kind of thing. There's also one that's somewhat frequently told about Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln visits a slave auction, and he notices a young woman who is glaring at everyone with hate and contempt, and she's on the block being sold. He reasons from looking at her face that she must have been treated pretty badly, and so he decides that he will bid for her. And when the bidding starts, he places a large bid, and then someone else places a larger bid, and the bidding continues, but he continues to raise the stakes until he wins the bidding, and he purchases this woman. And so after he gets the bill of sale from the auctioneer, remember, this story might not be true. After he gets the bill of sale, she follows him because he won the bidding. But she still looks upon him with contempt. Eventually, she asks Lincoln what he's going to do with her. And he says, I'm going to set you free. Free. Free for what? Just free. Completely free. Free to do whatever I want to do, to say whatever I want to say, to go wherever I want to go? Yes, free in every way. And then she said, then I want to go with you. I wonder if we can see ourselves in that story and think about how God has set us free from the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. He has set us free. He has reclaimed us. He has redeemed us. Surely we want to go with Him in every way that He would have us to go and do everything He would have us to do. Maybe there's someone here tonight who hasn't yet committed their life to the one who would redeem them from sin. If that's the case, then what you need to do is come to Him in faith. You need to come repenting of sin, and you need to come with a willingness to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. Maybe there's some here who need to think about their life and whether they're actually showing the kind of gratitude to the one who bought them, as they should. And maybe there are changes that need to be made. If there's someone that we can help this evening, as they look at their life and recognize they need to make some changes, then we would be delighted to have that opportunity. We're going to stand, we're going to sing the song that was selected, and while we do that, if there's someone that we can help, please come forward.